11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I've got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, a radio station focused on growing indomitable all-American 21st century liberty. This live episode of the Patriot Power Hour is brought to you by Ready-Made Resources. Plan, prepare, preserve with ReadyMadeResources.com. Now, let's welcome our hosts. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan, the editor-in-chief of the most original news radar on the planet, FutureDanger.com.
We're live. We are live. We are live. Season 6 premiere of the Patriot Power Hour. Thanks for joining us. April 29th, 2019, Monday. Glad to be here. This is Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran. My co-host, Future Dan, FutureDanger.com. How you doing, sir?
Great. Welcome to the spring 6th season Patriot Power Hour. We're going to run this straight through June. Try to catch most Monday nights this same time, 6:30, 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Looking forward to it for sure. So, went through some news. We got a few articles today, but we're going to get on a lot of other bigger picture type of topics as well. We do focus on current events and news here, but it's been a little bit quiet here. I don't know, but things have been resolved, though. That's my question.
Yeah, so
we still got a lot of smoldering issues that are just not popping up right now.
Smoldering issues. There's coals that were really hot earlier this year, all last year, stretching back to 2015 when we started keeping track of this closely. And which ones are resolved, which ones aren't. We're going to pick the top single. I'm going to take column 1 and 4 in this episode. Ben's going to take 2 and 3. That means I got the liberty and the natural scientific smoldering issues. Ben will do security and economics coming up later.
Absolutely, absolutely. After a quick commercial break. But we still got several minutes till that break. I am really proud that we have a new audio setup. Looking forward to that. We're bringing more and more to the Patriot Broadcasting Network. We just published Patriot Correspondence number 4, an evergreen, long-term, big-picture thinking. That's what we want that blend here on Patriot Broadcasting Network. We want current events and immediate news analysis, but we also want kind of big-picture, historical looks at culture and society and governing systems, right?
Yeah, put a marker down that'll make sense like 5, 10, 15 years from now.
Yeah, and some of this is hundreds of years ago. I mean, Patriot Power Hour makes sense. We are looking at the Revolutionary period for some inspiration in all of this, right? Revolutionary War, Founding Fathers. And look, a lot of what they went through and what they said and fought for is very, very relevant today. So we can try to focus on that too.
On a lot of fronts, straight up in jeopardy.
Yep. So definitely check out Patriot Broadcasting Network as well as the flagship show, Patriot Power Hour, which you're listening to right now. So can you believe it's going to be May in just a couple days? May Day, one of the best holidays out there. it seems like a quiet summer right now, but I know things are really going to pick up and get into that smoldering. We will analyze particular
issues that aren't going away.
Right. We're going to be analyzing those later in the show. But just generally speaking, right now, is kind of a calm before the storm feeling you have? Or what kind of just not a specific issue at hand right now, but what are you just feeling right now coming into May 2019?
I'm feeling that one of the rationales of developing Future Danger in the first place was in the second term of the previous president, when unprecedented attacks on liberty and threats to our economic way of life and security threats around the globe were combining to say this is not good times. And we have a new president that frankly undid a lot of policies that have alleviated things that put pressure inside of the Future Danger heat map that pressed some of them higher than most Americans were accustomed to. Is it a calm before a storm? I don't know. It's a plateau where we still see decay and erosion, especially at the state level.
Right.
But it's not the screeching
right.
descent into tyranny that is oftentimes felt like for 2016.
At least there's some firefighters attempting to control the blaze, quarantine it. You know, I can do all the different types of analogies. Before, it was just adding gasoline to the fire, now actually attempting to contain it to some degree.
This is what it looks like when the fuel is taken away. We've been roasted for 8 previous years.
Right, right. So we're not rebuilding by any means, but we're maybe stopping some of the damage. But that's just on some fronts, obviously, and a lot of other things. Especially, we are somewhat American-centric on this show, but it makes sense. It's where we live. But worldwide, there's a lot of crazy stuff that's getting worse as well. So maybe we're having a little more success here, but other areas are, you know, they're going up in flames too. So we do track that and talk about that on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too. So we do try that.
Try to link back how it does become a problem for us, for sure.
Exactly, because as we unfortunately, America gets dragged into a lot of this stuff, especially 21st century global economy and global military infrastructure in many regards. So we do get into that. And we got all different types of topics on Patriot Power Hour. Season 6, going to be bringing it all the way until, I believe, the summer solstice here on this episode, or excuse me, season 6. So looking forward to it, looking forward to it. Now, what I've been concerned about, I don't want to get too far into the vaccine issue, but that's one thing that does seem to be gaining some steam, kind of on the top end headlines.
Yeah, because we have a major measles outbreak across the country, including New York.
Right.
And it's immigration populations that are being targeted, and it's pretty obvious that that's how a disease that was eradicated in the United States in the 1970s.
And that's exactly what I want to get into.
It was brought from overseas. It had to have been.
Exactly. And it's more of a Clower and Piven or an overall, this is the problem. Now they're going to bring in the solution. And they're causing this problem. And a good portion of it is the illegal immigration, just wanton release of these folks into society. And guess what? They have been living in total squalor and with no hygiene, and these type of diseases flourish in there and mutate, et cetera, et cetera. What I'm saying is, look,
that's
they're bringing
that
in,
right there.
But now
that's
they're going to bring this measles into a bigger situation.
Yeah.
It's not going to be about the measles vaccine. It's going to be about other types of forced vaccines in the future is what I'm thinking.
And you also got to keep in mind, who plays with this stuff? Biological warfare wise. So
they've done this stuff for decades.
Ukraine is rife with measles. Okay. 40,000 cases is one number. When we spoke a moment ago about, you know, not necessarily dedicating a lot of time talking about other countries' crises, other countries' descents into real hell on earth. Well, Ukraine is war with Russian nationalists who are Ukrainian but are also ethnic Russian.
Right.
Who separate from the
last
East.
Few
That's
years
been a
of Crimea,
war,
et cetera.
And they got tons of measles, right? So the disease was never eradicated from the planet. And the fact that it's back within our border in such numbers is politically explosive as well. So it drives domestic, you know, the popular Fox News, CNN conversation 24/7. We got to talk about something.
Right.
It's pretty, you won't see it on my website because it's not fundamentally, you know, I do report if something like measles is back, you know, we eradicate it and it's back, so it's news. But 500 people is not an outbreak.
No.
Now, if it was tens of thousands, we'd be talking about something that's way beyond a crisis.
You got more than 500 people dying on the roads every day.
It starts taking life,
Yeah, we got 500 more than 500 people dying every day on the highways. So we got 500 people infected with measles. I mean, that's like hardly anything.
Yeah, you know, it would take 500 a day dying to be like
orange or red, maybe
black on the
and that would
black
be,
on red.
That would
yeah.
be bad, obviously bad news. We don't want that, and et cetera. But I'm definitely looking how you are that it's not the measles itself is not the issue that needs to be tracked as much as this is kind of the context that's being set for future epidemic or responses to them, or just overall encroachment of the government, CDC,
yeah,
et cetera.
I see what New York State's doing. The counties in New York have been doing it. And
yeah.
The mandatory quarantines.
Right. Oh, you can't be in public spaces, all these things.
Was triggered for the first time on Future Danger last week.
Oh, yeah?
When that county did that. It is a latent indicator, one of probably several dozen that have never been triggered. And that goes to show for you the nature of that heat map, where something like that hits at the lowest level. It was green. I didn't rate it much higher than that because obviously there's ways around. The government doesn't have any real ability to enforce it at the county level, and people can move away.
Right.
So it's not the kind of mandatory
right.
quarantine that you've watched in the movies. Of,
right.
You know, everybody's sick and the right. government's taking over.
Right, right, right. It's not straight up dystopic yet, but maybe a first step or a third step. Maybe they've already taken the first
unique,
steps before
but it,
then.
But it hit at a time when nothing else was hitting. If it was simultaneous to a major economic collapse and war going on, you'd know, you know, a different story.
Well, that's another thing. This is also, while it is a real issue and there's a lot of ways you can analyze it, it's also a bit of a distraction from all the other really important stuff that is out there, whether it's the debt, whether it's the endless wars, whether it's all different type of cultural and societal issues that just we can talk about for days. Instead, we're talking about the vaccine and measles, and that's what's on, you know, kind of in the news cycle right now. And that's, you know, that's what happens with news cycles. I know they get catch on to whatever's the latest, or heck, half the time they manufacture the storylines anyway. But there's a lot of other stuff going on besides that.
There's a lot of petty county level, perhaps at the state level, you know, forcing kids through the school system to coerce, got to have these shots to be here.
Right.
So
a lot of it, like not white lies, let's not say that, but they definitely try to be, if not dishonest, disingenuous, or kind of try to force you into that, and maybe don't get let you know about the options.
I'm sure
out.
They have mechanisms aligned where it becomes really hard to defy them. I mean, you can't have your kids in school, now your kids are truant. We're coming to your house, now your kids are truant. Take them to the school, take them somewhere else that obviously you can't afford, or we're taking the kids from you. So, you know, the leverage is all in place to force these shots, unless the people move to a place where there is no such local government. And we still have that in the United States. We still have that kind of social mobility where one place gets out of hand, it can move to another.
That was part of the grand experiment, and thank God for that. Usually the scum would rise to the top, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
So good stuff, good stuff. All right, folks, there's the music. We're going out to a very, very quick break. We will be back with the Future Danger News Blitz and a bunch of analysis and news thereafter. Stick with us, Patriot Power Hour. Cochran here. Hope you're enjoying the show. Now, here at the Patriot Broadcast Network, we're always doing our best to try to bring you unfiltered grassroots news and analysis. But guess what? We need your help. If you have questions or suggestions, if you want to be a guest or know someone who'd like to share their insights with us live on the air, please do reach out. You can find all of our contact information, social media, at blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Let us know how we can better our fight against the Bankster globalists and their cabal. We need your help. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network, or even search Patriot Broadcasting Network on Google and look for our Don't Tread on Me logo. Keep up the good fight.
Stay right here for more of the Patriot Power Hour, the flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe.
Welcome back to the Patriot Power Hour, segment two. On this podcast, we cover FutureDanger.com heat map. Mr. Cochran, we got probably all time low.
Yeah.
Not threatening news. Column one. We do have news on the front of the Mueller report and the fallout. President vows to release devastating DOJ FISA corruption evidence. Google tracks your location and shares it with police even when your phone is off. Same topic, different directions. The privacy, the protections of the Fourth Amendment have severely eroded. We got a presidential candidate vowing to impose sweeping gun control plan via executive action. Carmella. Column two. We got another claim, relatively unsubstantiated, that the CIA helped jihadists in Syria. It's a French author. Probably has a lot of facts that haven't been at least put together in that format for you. So if you're still on that issue of what the powers in Washington did for ISIS while ISIS was growing, check it out. Column three. We got an author, Alistair McLeod. He's just writing about how the U.S. government debt crisis is out there burning for us. Other than that, there is no dangerous economic news. We had a GDP number 3.2 in recent days. Seems to be all right. Column four, natural and scientific threats to your existence and mine. Got a deadly earthquake hitting the Philippines. Got over 4,000 domestic animals killed and hundreds of homes destroyed in a large Siberian wildfire. I didn't know it was that dry this time of year there. I thought it would have been spring, so that's interesting. And what we already discussed in segment one, measles outbreak raises questions about vaccination effectiveness. That is an aspect of this, Ben, that we could have discussed in the previous segment, where 10% of adults who had it, the vaccination, are now getting it. Out of the 500, 600, 700, one piece of them is, are 295 confirmed measles cases. 10% of adults among that population might have to get more shots.
Mutated.
Do you want more shots?
No.
I had MMR. I don't want more shots.
Yeah, I got all those back in the day. Last shot I think I got was tetanus, you know, 7, way before I knew about this stuff. So stay away from those flu shots and shingles shots, I'll tell you that. All right. Danger. Well, we got a lot. I want to get into a couple more of these, and then but we're going to start hitting on to the smoldering fire, so to speak, right? We're going to – I want to see – I know the FISA, we're going to talk about that. We've been talking about that, and that column is quite low compared to what it's been.
So are we getting into the topic of the show, the smoldering coals?
Because we have to, because
all
this
right.
is easily –
Who goes first? You're right.
Easily the least populated I've ever seen.
I'll go first.
Future Dangers heat map. So we're out already that quick. So go ahead.
I'll go there right now. We're going to talk about what has to come around. It's a boomerang, and it all goes down to the FISA corruption evidence. And what has been accused of the FISA court and what they let happen with different signatories. So there's documents. Everybody since the 50s knew that, you know, if you give an FBI the ability – to investigate in within active political operations that, you know, are campaigning for election, it's a huge no-no. And the Obama's administration was the first to do it so nakedly, so brazenly. It's what they got away with so far is, you know, chess compared to Nixon's checkers, right? Not even close. So But they put it into a Department of Justice, and then they left office and let them civil servants carry on.
Yeah.
Well, these civil servants have signed paperwork, and we know their names: Bruce Orr, Andrew McCabe, Rod Rosenstein, and there are others.
Rosenstein, I think, gone today. Actually, I thought I saw.
Did he resign?
I think so.
Yeah, good riddance.
I'm pretty sure. So yeah, good riddance. Good point. Well, this one's smoldering. We were talking a little bit before the show. Do you think, from a political point of view, we don't usually get too much into the political process, super election, but you can't ignore it. Do you think all this is going to come out as soon as it's ready, or do you think it'll be used as a political tool and maybe even conserved until October surprise next year, 2020?
But as you see it from our website, the concepts that are presented to the viewing public range from mundane to extreme. So I tend to like always start with what are the outer boundaries of what we're talking about.
Okay.
Trump could release, declassify how the FISA warrants came to be and what was said to that court and what lies were told and expose it to the world. Or he could wait. And if to get reelected, how late can he wait? The latest he can wait, in my opinion, is 2 weeks before the election. You have to remember, and probably can notice that tomorrow when you walk around in public and look at people, that a great mass of them, because of smartphones, have the memory of a goldfish.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
So,
even myself to some degree.
If anybody knows this, it's Donald Trump. And he tweets policy, right? So that's, you better catch people's attention at the last minute.
Right,
he's used those tools well.
Definitely.
To get elected.
Absolutely.
So theoretically, it's from tonight during this episode of the Patriot Power Hour all the way to 2 weeks out. If it was closer than 2 weeks, it may be like letting a tiger out of a cage and you don't know who it's going to finish biting, because I think there'll be biting going on in every direction. 2 weeks could just put it into a pell mell. He might do it though. Probably if I was saying he was going to launch it with intent,
yeah,
it'll be probably October 1st, October surprise. He'll be the guy who did the biggest one ever. You know,
that would
probably
fit his
that.
Mantra perfectly.
And just roll with the reelection.
Absolutely, I could absolutely see that. My question is, does that, number one, behoove him? Can he last that long to wait? You know, at some point.
Well, he got pressured all the way through the darkest days of the Mueller investigation when something was supposed to be there, none of which was ever substantiated, to release the FISA memos, to fight back with it. And it does seem like right now he was holding the card and waiting for the round to progress and waiting to launch his move. He hasn't needed to throw that ace yet.
Right.
And it's going to be devastating politically, but constitutionally, it's going to be abhorrent. It's going to what they got away with.
Right.
If they let the FISA courts continue as they stand, and they are a fundamental disregard, they stand in constitutional rejection of the Fourth Amendment because there's no adversarial system. There's the government asking the government, can I spy on people? And the government tells the government, yeah, you can. You're not present in any of it, in these massive dragnets catching all of our data. So,
right. Yeah, that's a big one. No, well,
think, just use the logic of, does the NSA know what all the children and spouses and husbands and wives and cousins of every single judiciary member across the country is? And why wouldn't you target embarrassing parts of that to put pressure on your judge to get results you want? What's to stop that if this is what we're doing?
Absolutely. And that's a big part of it, but even just letting honest judges in the first place, you know, let alone prosecuting or forcing the hand of those that are in. If it's this big of a deal, which I believe it is, if it is just constitutional crisis in a way, the way it's been handled, should Trump just do it now, though? Wait another year and a half? Shouldn't he just bring it all out now? Like, isn't that
unless
what you should do for the country?
Right now. If someone in the Justice Department
still need time, you think they still need time?
Is at a level, if Rosenstein's gone, is his successor going to launch the investigations, the counter investigations?
Right.
Are they going to catch Comey and McCabe
right.
with flat out untruths that are merit prosecution
right.
and then arrest them?
And if they, I believe if they already have that in the bag and they're waiting for political advantage, I understand the game and you got to hold your ace, as you
said. That's not political. That would be prosecuting people.
They need to hit that ASAP as soon as they have it, though. They shouldn't
sit on it. I like
Don't
talk,
sit on the case. You know what I mean?
I like the talk of a 9/11 style commission where it's all a matter of they're stood up by Congress to grant immunity for crimes in exchange for testimony and make everyone who wants that come forward and testify publicly and answer the questions what they did and why they did them. And that way it'll resemble what major defeated countries in war have to go through, where they are their the occupiers make it clear whatever philosophy or system of government or belief system brought you to fight us is invalid. We're talking about like slavery in the South, the Third Reich, the Japanese imperial dynasty, the ISIS and the fundamentals of Wahhabi Islam. Like, it's not valid. We really abhor it. It'd be good to not have it. That's what we've all agreed, right?
Yeah.
And every one of those things.
I'm pretty sure. Very hard to. If you disagree, please contact us. We'll have you on as a guest. But no, I agree for sure. But if they have this, let's say they have a really, really solid case. You know, nothing's 100%, but a 90% chance they'll be able to bust one of these high-level guys with all the facts and evidence. Let's say they have that now or even in a few months. Waiting a whole year to spring that, do you think that's immoral?
Well, it's even not immoral, but it's supposedly why the Mueller investigation continued. There was a unwritten, generally Washington, D.C., among Congress and the executive branch, consensus that the standard was you don't bring criminal charges within a certain period before an election for fear of swaying it. And again, all they are is allegations.
Right.
They saw long ago that you don't do that because it could kill elections and it would thoroughly corrupt the Department of Justice and the FBI. So they used this as a shield to extend the Mueller probe only to announce to us in what? March, April 2019 that lo and behold, it was nothing.
Right.
So they used it as a reason to extend, but you'd probably see every lawyer inside that DOJ from now on say, no, we can't, they're going to try to be ethical going forward. So the investigations would probably have to come by summer of 2020. Unless of course the president like asserted power,
right.
said, give me what you're thinking of charging. He composed in a letter and made it public as the chief law enforcement officer under the Constitution. He could just do it. He could write any letter and say that's what's happening.
Yep. I understand holding your fire until you see the whites of their eyes, and there's great times to attack, and sometimes you got to hold off. But if they got something signed, sealed, and delivered, they need to hit that ASAP. Do not sit on it. You never know what'll happen
that's
the next day.
That's smoldering cola, yeah, without dramatic outro music. That one's coming.
All right, Patriot Power Hour, we are hitting the halfway mark. We will be right back. Do stick with us. Patriot Power Hour.
Okay, folks, here's your chance. The Patriot Broadcasting Network has highly affordable advertising options for you. Our shows and our hosts' websites have a very special audience. These are Americans who are preparing to take care of themselves and their families during difficult times. Start reaching this audience with your product, service, or cause. Interested in broadcasting your podcast on PBN? We're interested in talking to you about that, too. Don't wait. Email info@futuredanger.com for more information.
You are listening to the Patriot Broadcasting Network, sponsored by ReadyMadeResources.com.
Patriot Power Hour. We are back. It is C6 premiere, episode 55, halfway mark and counting. Ben the Breaker of Banksters Cochran here with Future Dan, FutureDanger.com. We hit a little bit of the big news of the day already, but as we've talked about, it's kind of a little bit of a quiet time. But we got a lot of smoldering issues, and we're going to dig into the archive, the FutureDanger.com archive, into some major issues and indicators that may not be popping off right now or even this week or even this month that have certainly not been resolved.
So what strikes you, column three, economically? Where's the smoldering coal? Like the FISA corruption is a burning coal. Someone's got an oven somewhere and they got to check it on somebody's lap. What's the little ball of fire that's coming back?
I'm glad you bring that up, everybody. Longtime listeners, of course, know my favorite, the black hole of debt. So instead of a burning coal, I use the black hole analogy. Always getting bigger. Of course, there's different ways. In the end, I consider all debt in the entire world part of this black hole of debt. But we mostly focus here on the U.S. government debt, and we focus on commercial debt, i.e. corporations. And we focus particularly, because this affects every single person, personal debt, whether it's student loan, auto, credit card, etc. So all of this debt is growing. None of these that I've just talked about, none of them are shrinking or even staying the same. All types of debt are increasing every single day, sometimes more than others, but it just continues to grow, this black hole of debt. At some level, maybe we can live without, you know, maybe there's a sustainable black hole of debt at the center of our galaxy, our financial galaxy, that we can all orbit around. That's what the Keynesians would want you to believe. Maybe that's true to some degree. I believe the black hole is already too big and growing too fast, and we are all being sucked into the black hole of debt.
Is this not a case of mind over matter?
It is.
If you don't mind, it does not.
Exactly. It's a con game.
Or is that con game? Or does economics have some innate way of defining?
It's almost like it doesn't matter as long as everyone doesn't mind. But if a large enough portion, for example, China and Russia and Saudi Arabia start to mind about the U.S. debt, then guess what? They'll stop purchasing it and we'll fall into a massive crisis. But luckily, we have weapons and other tactics, financial and otherwise, to keep them minding and keep them buying our debt. Thank God.
All right. So we're going to hit some of these debt headlines in the past. Let's say last 12 months.
Okay.
Last 12 months. We're going to do something new on the show. I'm going to point at the heat map.
All right.
And you're going to hit the headline.
All right.
Ready?
Let's do it.
Go ahead. 17 March 2018.
St. Patrick's Day. Federal debt hits $21 trillion.
Last March 20th. Two March 20th ago.
At $21 trillion, the federal debt is growing 36% faster than the U.S. economy. This is what I'm talking about. If someone argues that there's a certain amount of debt we can have but survive, we can't be having more debt than we grow. You know, our growth rate must be larger than the debt rate.
Come May 21st, 2018.
Basic stuff. Federal debt to GDP ratio projected at 85% of GDP by 2021, of course, growing.
30 July 2018.
U.S. debt sales to surge. Treasury raises 2018 borrowing need to $1.33 trillion.
Last September 20th.
Ridiculous. Remember, this is 2018. Federal government debt projected to hit $99 trillion by 2048 from 21 to 99.
I've never seen $99 trillion.
I've never seen that.
October 1st, 2018.
They project that one. Federal government debt up $1.27 trillion in 1 year.
October 6th, last year.
Federal government spend record $523 billion on debt interest. Just the interest, $523 billion. Interest.
Last November 9th.
Record low interest rates pretty much. Debt ceiling will be set to record high of $22 trillion and will fund the government until the summer of 2019, which we're practically in right now.
12 December.
Federal government debt poised to hit $22 trillion, as we just noted.
Day after Christmas.
Federal debt up $1.37 trillion since last Christmas.
Wow. That sucks. 27th December.
Federal debt interest will soon exceed national defense spending.
That'll catch people's
eyes. The interest we're paying on this black hole of debt, kind of the cost of orbiting. It's kind
now,
of
who was responsible
more
January
than defense
9th?
Spending. We
January
about
9th, who was responsible?
Republican House increased debt by $7.9 trillion in 8 years. Oh!
And Trump signed it.
Yeah.
February 10th.
That's ridiculous. So much money. Federal government debt to pass $22 trillion. And
February 13th, three days later.
Tops it.
February 13th, day before Valentine's Day, we just hit $22
less
trillion.
Less than 1 year, and it went up from $21 to $22 trillion. And, of course, we saw by what, 2048, we're going to have $99 trillion? So we're going to have another 60-plus trillion in the next 20 years. That doesn't sound very reasonable, does it?
No, it doesn't. That's what we're talking about on this show. And I'll defy you to jump on another podcast that can hit the headlines over a period of 12 months and give you that kind of picture with that kind of commentary. Bravo, Mr. Carter.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Thank you. Thank you.
What else, though? You were hitting on all the consumer debt issues. We could do that inside the other indicator where I carry that.
Okay.
So go ahead and punch up debt on this screen and we will get some headlines.
And for those that want to follow along at home, we're just going to futuredanger.com and checking out some of the indicators and searching simply using the control and F function in Google Chrome to highlight debt in these different headlines from many years back or many months, more than a year in some regard. So here we go. We got it.
All right. I'll do this and get your reaction.
Okay.
27 June, debt for American corporations tops $6 trillion. July 16th, $247 trillion global debt bomb.
Ooh.
Reported, Washington Post.
Washington Post. This is a fringe conspiracy here, okay?
31st of July, consumer debt all-time high. September 3rd, global debt soars, along with fears of crisis ahead. November 16th, household debt hits record high. December 1st, I wonder what was previous record. December 1st, American debt is set to hit $4 trillion. The government's at 22 and you're at 4. 4 and 22, keep that in mind. All right, consumer debt, $4 trillion. National debt, 22. What kind of ratios could they put in? Could we double that?
Well,
8 and 44?
That'd be crazy.
16.88.
Well, they said it's going to be 99. So what
do the
that
numbers
mean
anything?
Exactly. That's right. The main question we're coming up to here.
February 23rd.
Do the numbers matter?
February 23rd. Not globally. Global sovereign debt to jump to $50 trillion. I'll say that again.
It's just sovereign
global
debt.
Global sovereign debt to jump to $50 trillion.
Just government debt globally.
Yep.
$50 trillion.
March 5th, American credit card debt climbs to record $870 billion.
Ooh.
Okay. So out of that $4 trillion of personal debt, that's where they are, almost a quarter of it on the credit cards.
Credit cards are much, much higher interest rate, obviously.
March 7th, last month, consumer credit storms above $4 trillion as credit card debt hits record high. There you go. Zero hedge. 13 March, we got an article by Michael Snyder, 12 statistics to prove the U.S. is facing a consumer debt apocalypse. Yeah. He's carrying a lot of these things.
Yeah.
Whopping 480 million credit cards are in circulation. Yeah. 480 credit cards. How many adults are there actually in the country?
Adults? I think it's like 180 documented. I don't know. There's like 330 alleged total people.
120 million children and 180 adults?
I don't know. Maybe there's 230 million adults. There's like 330 million total. So how many do you think are adults? Two-thirds?
Why is the per capita of credit cards exceeding a ratio of people that can use them? That's not good.
No, none of that. This is credit card balances that are usually at what, 15, 20, 25% interest rates. It's one thing if you got mortgages at 4 or 5% and you actually can support them and it's for productive or, you know, having a nice home. Raise a family in.
Yeah.
Credit card debt, 25% to get sneakers, or heck, some people are responsible. They're just desperate and they got to buy their food with the credit cards, even if they try to be thrifty and work hard and all that. Bad stuff.
Usury, really. You're borrowing.
Oh, yeah.
You're borrowing instead of making. It never ends well. For us, Yeah. I guess the smaller the fish you are in the pond, the less it affects you, though.
No, what they would say is if you made it so that you couldn't have these high interest rates, then many people would not have access to credit because they need this 20%. Because
it's stupid credit.
Exactly. It's well, enslaving that's the credit. Thing. Like, but they would say that we'd be discriminating against people with poor credit.
Laissez-faire. Let the market go.
I would say the same, but they would say we are discriminatory and they should use this for social engineering purposes is what they would say.
It'll trap a lot of people. Well, student debt's already trapped if you don't want that slavery. So.
Well, that's in itself, but at least that's at like 5, 6, 7% interest. But still, that's a big issue too. For
Turning
sure.
from economic issues, Mr. Cochran, Breaker of Banksters, what is an international security situation that's smoldering in your opinion?
One that I personally have a little experience with because I went to Korea last year is the Korean War and that whole situation. I went late last May, so almost a year ago. It was right before Trump went over there. And it's since then, but even before, things have calmed down in terms of no new major nuclear tests that we've been focused on, at least. New launches, et cetera, have been very low. But before that, it was quite hot. However, a lot of these were kind of temporary. I think things just got quiet. I don't think that it was solved. What do you think?
Well, the North Koreans could test a new weapon. The North Koreans might show reprocessing activity at their site. Could be fake too. You know, we're gotten most of our intel community is paying close attention with basically optics and signal intel that spy completely on the country. Well, I mean, we're that good that we can probably listen to most of North Koreans' communications. South Koreans try it all the time too. So,
oh yeah, definitely. I think we could easily crack all their stuff.
They're not doing anything that's consistent with denuclearization. So all of this is like a light switch. It's sitting in a room. It's wired. It's got electricity. Just no one's turned it on for a while. But it could come around the corner
Good
and flip
point.
It.
Good point. I like that. That's a good analogy right there. So what are we – that is a little disconcerting, though. There's almost no articles here. So we're on the Korean War restarts indicator on future danger.
Trump deserves credit for getting this quiet down any amount of time.
It did. And when I went May 24th until November 13th, there was only 6, 7 very low-level articles. But in the last few month or so, there's been 3 or 4. They're still low-level. But it's picked up. Look, you almost had like maybe one a month. Now we're getting 2, 3 a month.
We have
picking
a big gap
a
between
bit.
November 13th and March 5th.
Yeah, nothing.
No news on this indicator worthy of rating.
Now it's starting to pick up a little, though.
Yeah, and if you go back in time, we've hit yellow in streaks. We had crises in September of 2017. You know, massive response was ready when they were launching missiles. They were doing it in August of 2017. Of course, the president threatened to nuke him in August 8th, last August of 2017. So he was new to the job, and that's not normal. Probably drove Kim to the table. In fact, that could be the first time that the president's ever made a nuclear threat. It was the fire and fury comment. So we've come a long way from that.
No, absolutely. But again, like you said, that just means the light switch has been turned off. North Korea is still a massive dictatorship, has still a puppet of China that's a major thorn in the side of everyone, especially those in that region. So, and nothing's really been truly resolved. I guarantee you they haven't totally denuclearized and certainly haven't given up their space flight and missile technology.
No, they don't give that away. How do you stop having it? So, you got to be prepared if you're a nation state to get tricked in your dealings with other nation states.
Right.
Now, they're not – I don't know how you stop knowing this other than to make all the people with knowledge emigrate. Like all you Korean scientists, North Korean scientists, you're going to finish your lives in Switzerland. Protected, you got lives, don't worry about it, but you can't be there anymore. Otherwise, how do you stop a communist regime from continuing to have the ability to build it?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a question for the ages. No, I don't know. It's a messed up situation for sure. But one of many smoldering iron, coals in the fire or whatnot. There's the music, though. We got to get out of here. Got one more segment coming right up very quickly. Stick with us as we end this season 6 premiere Patriot Power Hour.
Do you want to build a website? Web-based Coding is a leading web design firm building websites since 1998. Veteran-owned and operated, Web-based Coding can build your website. They specialize in WordPress technologies. Develop a beautiful, pixel-perfect website that is stunning on computers, tablets, and phones. Web-based Coding can solve your business problems on the Internet, helping you brand or sell your product or service. This company excels in e-commerce through automation, user-friendliness, up-to-date security protocols, and well-written code. Do you have a WordPress website and struggle with it? Web-based Coding has programmers that can fix your site, speed it up, and add custom functionality. Call 239-362-6014 for a free consultation. Get a simple quote over the phone or visit webbasedcoding.com to view their portfolio and 5-star testimonials. Do you want to build a website? It begins at webbasedcoding.com.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
What you gonna do when they show up in black suits? On your streets, not mixed boots. And then silence you. What you gonna say when they strip your rights away? And the tax man makes you pay.
Patriot Power Hour, episode 55. April 29th, Monday night, 2019, talking about the smoldering issues, top picks,
finish
four
strong.
Columns of what is out there waiting to come back. Whatever metaphor you like, they're going to boomerang. Somebody's going to toss something smoldering into, you know, the nether regions that aren't going to be comfortable for others. Harder to do one of these. We've covered all three columns, liberty column, security column, economic column. Now it's my turn.
Okay.
We're going to finish up with the nature and man and science and those things.
Okay.
That's a lot harder to pinpoint one. It says that's smoldering because these are random events. It's just coming down top to bottom. We have three active indicators, earthquakes, wildfires, vaccine effects. None of those can be said to be smoldering.
Yeah.
Backdoor asteroids, those are rocks flying around the universe. There's no, like, we know they're coming. It's not
right. Exactly. That's
there's
got to
be the intentionalness of this.
Exactly.
I mean, facts that we know are out there that have to come back.
If we knew one was going to hit us in 20 years, that would be smoldering. We just don't know for sure.
The closest thing in this column really is the California earthquake, the big one in California. And they get the tremors, swarms of tremors, and everybody gets nervous. But when will that hit? I don't know.
It's smoldering, really. And the longer it goes without one, you would think, the bigger it will have to be.
I'm not sure that really matters. If you look at the whole Earth's mantle, it's just crunching rocks against itself. We have this mass in the Earth. This thing is all rotating. We're on a spinning planet.
Earth is flat. You didn't hear?
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure it's not. So you got this ball of this stuff on a mantle. The rock's just crushing around all the time. It's like walking gravel up a driveway that's a rocky gravel driveway. Your boots just go crunch, crunch, crunch. Those rocks didn't know where they were going to go next, but they got moved. This thing is the planet on a spinning top orbiting the sun. There's a lot of gravitational forces. It's just crunching. Yeah. But the thing we do know is the San Andreas Fault runs up that side of the country, and it can all get super whacked because the whole west coast of everything from Chile up to Alaska gets whacked all the time.
Right.
So matter of time, smoldering issue, I guess so.
Well, the thing is, a lot, and you do focus on this, and we got to go further back than just a few years. You got to go back, 10, 20, 50 years. Many areas on the Pacific Rim have been totally smashed, whether it's in Indonesia, whether it's Japan, whether it is down in South America, whether it's even Alaska. But California, we had Northridge, you had San Francisco in the 80s, but
the population centers are so much bigger.
Yeah, so much bigger, and there's still the big one is, like an 8 or higher, 8.5.
Yeah.
Northridge was, a 7.1 or something?
Alaska's at a 9
yeah.
in the 60s.
Exactly.
But barely anybody lived there. But the whole bay went out to the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
It went away for tens of minutes or several minutes, if not over 10.
And that's the thing.
And then it all came back with throwing boats miles ashore.
The tsunamis is something that I don't think people have even considered as much. Now, after, since, 2010, I believe, in Japan, people are much more. And there's also been many other major tsunamis, but I think
Indonesia,
exactly,
2006, wasn't it?
But before then, I think people did not consider tsunamis, and now that's a real threat too. But you're right, when those things happen out there, we don't think about it. What if a huge tsunami came right in on Long Beach or up in Seattle or up in Canada,
or even
Alaska?
That one's tough to see how it could happen. The Atlantic is not that seismically active. If
the other side,
but
the Pacific side,
we track the asteroids coming. We call it backdoor asteroid coming in.
That's another issue.
From the sun, and you just have no visibility. We have no way to see it, and suddenly it's huge and it's fast and it's right at us,
yeah.
And it's the movies you've seen. So if one of those splash into the Atlantic Ocean, absolutely you could be facing it.
Right. So I think it's more of a smoldering issue. Under this is not necessarily a natural disaster. That is always smoldering. I'll give you that.
Every one of them by definition kind of is.
Right. But I also kind of, they're almost like so unpredictable. The way I look at smoldering is like someone we've already identified. So like the big one in California.
Acts
I'm looking
of God.
More,
they call them acts of God for a reason.
I'm looking more at socioeconomic and just societal collapse, maybe a natural family fails. That's one that's smoldering, and just every generation seems
chemtrails
to be scoring worse on
hard
a lot
evidence
of these.
Chemtrails might be coming.
I've seen already some hard evidence, obviously, on geoengineering. Chemtrails is a very loaded word, hard to say exactly what it is. I think weird stuff is going on up in the atmosphere. So but smoldering, like we're talking about something that could be wreck society in a way that just hasn't been talked about
much lately.
There's
been strong evidence for it.
Right. Self-aware machines materializing. That's a smoldering issue right there. It's going to take 20, 30, 50 years.
I dispute that this is actually possible to get true human self-awareness, something that is tangibly equivalent to a human thought process of consciousness, like you see in the movies, is not close.
Yeah.
It's hundreds and hundreds of years away.
That's the thing. I won't put anything beyond a 50-year horizon because who knows how fast things will
accelerate. Is that
right? I think things could accelerate in 50 years way more than we can imagine right now. I don't know. Hopefully we'll be alive in 50 years. So that's kind of also my time frame. Like, all right, about time 50 years from now, by about 2050, 2060, 2070.
You got to look at what our founders were thinking. They set stuff up to last for centuries.
True.
And it has. So there's got to be patriots today that also think beyond 50 years.
Definitely. Yes. But I just mean in terms of what could be a major threat. But definitely understand. But between 1870 and, World War One, no one imagined fighter bombers and whatnot changing
true enough,
the paradigm type of thing.
Or space flight.
But obviously it's much more advanced now, but it's a paradigm shift. But when it comes to self-aware machines real quick, they don't have to have human level. They just have to have I can identify what a human is and it is a threat to me and I'm going to do whatever it takes to destroy that threat.
All right, so we're going to go back.
It's not that far away.
We're going to go back on a 12-month time frame again.
Okay.
Run you some headlines. Let you have an impression.
All right. I like this. This is a good game.
Coming from May 5th, 2018, artificial intelligence. Can machines think? It was gold money, and he was talking predominantly about algorithms in the financial sphere and what they might end up doing to us in the market if it's not already fully loaded. June 25th last year, a team of AI algorithms just crushed humans in a complex computer game. So they're getting the AI algorithms to be able to team up in cooperative behavior and put humans to the test in games that we actually defined.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't seen a headline where they defined a game. All right, AI outperforms humans on reading comprehension test. That was September. AI now showing human-like intuition in historical turning point. That was a Yahoo article last December. European robots with real brains could be granted human rights.
Mm-hmm.
That's the UK Daily Star, and it kind of tells you where the danger is at the end of this. Hey, we got a machine that could think. That sounds cool, Johnny. No, because now it votes against you, and everybody says it counts as a vote. DARPA wants to build conscious robots using insect brains, and that's not even new. They had pigeon brain on a chip testing from the past 10 years, trying to merge these, you know, a natural brain substance with circuits so that they can drive neural processing techniques to the pod.
That's just what they tell us. Who knows what they've been doing the last 50 years?
And then there's January this year, new robot can simulate a self-image. It is said to be able to learn what it is. It can self-image itself. So that those are the signs of self-awareness, which is really the threshold, the singularity, so to speak. And finally, this past March, artificial prejudice detected in supercomputer sims. What we're talking about is computers that build biases in measurable ways, and they prove that it's possible. These things that are teaming against humans to win in games also shows preferences for behavior. So self-awareness can image itself, can think strategies autonomously. We're starting to get to see behaviors that are tantalizing, but I still have to tell you what they're trying to do is probably not going to be very easy.
Yeah, no, and they can develop certain systems, I would suspect, but integrating all those systems together, get them to actually work in the real world without massive cascading failures. Good luck. I'm still waiting for the self-driving cars to materialize. They're getting a little closer, but there's still massive issues they're going to have to work out. And that'll take a long time.
They've got a pretty good road network it's competing with.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Holy cow, works really good.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's not a pressure point.
Right, but it's slowly smoldering, getting better and better. And someday it'll approach that equilibrium and then pass it.
Then
and even that won't be enough to switch it, but it'll be damn close. A lot of friction will come up. And that might be, you know, closer than
we
think.
But when we start building, like, super tall building pyramids of 40, 50 stories high, massive, complex, you know, terrain, and you can have on a rainy night your floating Blade Runner car right on past the...
Waiting for that. What was that, 2049, I think? Jeez, we ain't got much time
left.
They
saw it back
30
when we were kids, so...
Maybe that's about the right 30
still
years.
Still hasn't happened. It's probably dangerous to let people in cars. What do you do if you freak out up there and like make the car flip over and you're like 10,000 feet above the planet?
Oh, they absolutely won't give us control of that. We are way too volatile.
Well, we're going to all get caddied everywhere by some big hive mind of AI that's giving signals to drive.
That is going to happen no matter what. It's just, will it be fair and freedom-based or tyranny? And hopefully it'll be on the blockchain.
It's
and maybe
only a matter of how much tyranny it will be. Think about it. It's always been a question of how much tyranny are we going to put up with. And when it gets worse and worse, there's been ways for people to step up and reject it. But we're talking about a brave new world, right?
Absolutely.
Where the control, the social control of the technology, that the technology enabled will be a life.
Ridiculous, right?
We haven't seen it before. Episode 55, April 29th. Glad to have you.
Great stuff, and that's the stuff we love to get into here, Patriot Power Hour. So stick with us throughout the season 6 and beyond. That's all these different topics, current events, and reach out to us with your ideas and thoughts and love. Talk to you later. Peace out. Patriot Power Hour. Signing.
My son might not understand what I've tried to be. And if I were to be killed in Willard, I would want someone to go to my home and tell my son everything. Everything I did, everything you saw, because there's nothing that I detest more than the stench of lies. And if you understand me, Willard, you will do this for me.
Hey, Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran here. Hope you're enjoying the show. Now, here at the Patriot Broadcast Network, we're always doing our best to try to bring you unfiltered, grassroots news and analysis. But guess what? We need your help. If you have questions or suggestions, if you want to be a guest or know someone who'd like to share their insights with us live on the air, please do reach out. You can find all of our contact information, social media, at blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Let us know how we can better our fight against the Bankster globalists and their cabal. We need your help. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network, or even search Patriot Broadcasting Network on Google and look for our Don't Tread on Me logo. Keep up the good fight.